welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This satsang, this radio program is for the beautiful day of January 7th, 2016. And I'm very, very, very grateful that you chose to be with me. We're going to be looking at something quite unusual. We're going to be looking at the whys and hows of old Gregory here. I get a lot of these questions because people don't know who I am and all of that other fine stuff. So I thought it'd be fun just to send some energy this way, maybe explain myself a little better. I evidently seem to be odd to people. Who would have thought? I want to remind you that this odd person is only on the radio because of you. Your financial support, your donations, your tax-deductible gifts are the only way in which Aspire can remain on the air. And I hope that you will become a sponsor this year. This is a lovely year to do it, 2018. And when you become a sponsor, you get all sorts of gifts, one of them being the message of the month that I offer to my sponsors, as well as commentaries, two of them per month, two podcasts, two video casts, and all of the Aspire TV program discourses that I did over the last 25 years or so, more. And it's all there for you. Such things as Cahil Gibran, the Buddha talking about the Eightfold Path, Jesus' beautiful work, Socrates, everything is there for you to listen to. And I think you'll find them kind of interesting. We're going to be putting up during this new year of 2018, the series Living the Life, which was a series I did on Cahil Gibran. And I'm very excited about that. Now it will be coming up here in the next month or two, maybe even sooner, and we'll have it up for you to enjoy. They were very interesting discourses and things I did on the prophet that Cahil Gibran offered to us. And I think they're enlightened. I truly do. I think Cahil Gibran was one of the most beautiful, talented, gorgeous men, right in there with Rumi and all the great masters. So I think you'll find this series lots and lots of fun if you're into that kind of thing. I sound like somebody who's on NPR, you know, who talks about doing what is it that Saturday Night Live used to do about menus and cooking and everything. I don't know. Anyway, forgive me. Well, I get emails from time to time, and they're very interesting emails about me, the interpretation of me, why I say, you know, please forgive me after everything I do. And it sparks questions in people. So here I am. I was thinking, you know, instead of answering all of these emails and individualizing them, I'm just going to answer three that I typically get. And maybe they'll be of service to you. And these came to me at the end of last year. So here we go. First one comes from Sylvia. She does not tell me where she lives. I've never read one of your commentaries, but I've heard of them from a friend that subscribes to them. Why do you write them? What is their purpose? And can anyone truly understand them? My friend says they're very complicated. Sylvia. Oh my. I'm prolific when it comes to complications. I'm sorry they're complicated. I really am, you know, to your friend, because they're not meant to be. They're meant to be a commentary from a man, myself, who has been in a spiritual practice authentically since 1973, and has struggled through people, congregations, students, retreats for all those many years. And I'm trying to bring into focus, Sylvia, the things that are most important about spiritual awakening. Now, you wouldn't be interested in these commentaries if you were not interested in what it means to spiritually awaken and realize the pitfalls and the difficulties of awakening spiritually. So the whole idea of the commentaries is to share with my students, with you, with anybody who is truly interested in the commentaries, what it means to awaken spiritually and what the pitfalls are. I have students who, Sylvia, have been with me for years. They're people who are very selfish, self-centered, need to be special kind of people. They undermine themselves constantly. Then they come and they sit down with me in a counseling session where we're working each week on different things that are about inner awakening. And I have this one guy especially I'm thinking of right now, but it pertains to all of them. And they just shake their head and go, I don't understand why I'm not getting it, when they don't do it at all. They don't practice. They don't give it anything more than maybe reading books or listening to me, reading commentaries, things like that, and thinking to themselves, well, you know, this should be enough. If I agree with what Greg is saying and I listen to what he's saying and I understand, or I think I understand, I comprehend what he's saying based on the whole idea that people interpret what they can think. Their mental equivalent of understanding is only geared to their level of logic and reasoning. It just doesn't mesh. And then I write about this kind of stuff and how to liberate yourself from it. And that's what the commentaries are about. They're about looking at the common issues that people have and looking at what it is that they the practice is all about and how to overcome the difficulties that are involved in the practice and overcome them. Transcend them is really what it's all about. And that's why I write them, for people, I imagine, who might be interested in what it means to develop, spiritually speaking, in a culture and in a society that does not recognize spiritual awakening as important or even possible or even relevant to life. And that's really what it's all about, because people think the only thing that is relevant to their life is what they can think, what they can analyze, what they can understand. That's all they have. So they don't live according to the manner of their own heart, their own spirit, so they betray themselves over and over and over again, making it very difficult for them to awaken, to find the meaning of awakening. Just doesn't really occur very much in people. So rather than ignoring the subject and thinking to myself, well, they'll get it if they get it and all of that, I write commentaries, get up very early in the morning, meditate, and then I write these commentaries about the things that are most important. Right now I'm in a series called The Process, and The Process is about spiritual awakening. What does it take to awaken? If you've only heard of them, Sylvia, they're pretty pungent. There's always end stories in them. But they're not for everyone. I don't write for everyone. I don't do my work for everyone. This is not something I do to invite the masses in. I'm very selective about what I write about. And then the person that reads that selectiveness can decide whether or not they are ready to enter into something that is so authentic and earth-shaking, life-shaking, that they're ready to make whatever kind of sacrifice they have to make to do their awakening. And, you know, it's a deal. It really is. You have no idea the value of these commentaries unless you're in a practice or you're nosing around in one and trying to figure out what it is or what it's all about. They're extremely valuable. my students who are sincere find them very, very valuable. And those who are just dilly-dallying around trying to sidestep a practice, that's, you know, to them it's just words on a page, but it's far more than words on a page. So I hope that that explains to you what I'm doing, and I hope that helps you, Sylvia. You had to ask your friend to print you out a copy and read it. You might find something interesting. I don't know if you're nosing around for awakening or looking for that which might help awaken you. I don't know. But if you are, these offerings are very powerful. They really are. Okay, let's go to the... Sylvia, please forgive me. Eh? Yeah. Namaste. Almost forgot that. You will. My commentaries are not for everyone. Really, they're not. And I don't write them to be for everyone. I write them to be in service to those who are looking to be, shall we say, meditators, people who are working on themselves, really working, not the, you know, when I feel like it kind of person, the amateur. This is for someone who really is penetrating, wanting to penetrate beyond human understanding. And our mental acuities are pretty small these days because we're overly entertained and overly indulged, and we're fat and sassy, and it's a mess. Okay, next one from Jan. She does not tell me where she lives either. In a world of indifference, Greg, how do you think you are helping by offering what you offer? I look at your TV programs, and while I love them and understand what you're doing, do you think the majority of people seeing them could understand what you're doing? Jan. Oh, hell no. The majority of people looking at my TV programs wouldn't get it at all. I am so surprised at the comments I get from the radio program, people that email me, and the TV programs, and where their heads are at. It's certainly not where I thought they would be when I was filming all of that. When I was filming Aspires, and I still am to this day, I am looking at people. I was thinking in terms of people who were going to try to go ahead and do transformation. They had seen the futility of living the way we live, the futility of living in hate and fear, the futility of living in deep unhappiness and depression. And I was, and still am, trying to help people understand this doesn't have to be the way. It just doesn't have to be the way. But we, as we are and live as we do, we miss the whole thing. So, yes, there is a tremendous amount of indifference, and I'm going to just say it, okay? Stupidity in the American public, just great stupidity. And this stupidity manifests in how involved people can be in politics. To me, being involved in politics and arguing the situations that are there are not relevant to our lives, because you can argue all you want, but what's going to happen in Washington is going to happen. That's just the way it is. So I have to look at my life and ask myself, what is it I'm truly all about? What is my life truly all about? And am I going to go forward in this life and live my life according to love, the manner of spirit that love is, and let the pieces, be where they are and not worry about it? Or am I going to make all sorts of difficulties for myself? So when you're watching an Aspire TV program that I did 20 years ago or 15 years ago, they're as relevant today as they were then. Nothing's really changed. The world is truly as screwed up and messed up as it could possibly be, based on the whole interpretation of what it is that we believe is right and wrong, good and bad. We have no sense of elevating ourselves. We don't even want to elevate ourselves to a higher principle of life. that exists right there, right within us. We don't even care that that exists. We don't really want to do anything about it either. We just want to go along, get what we want, and hope that we're fat, sassy, and rich at the end, and get all sorts of presents and things that we want during the year, and that we die before all of this falls apart, because we don't want to see it fall apart. So in a world of indifference, as you say, how do I think I'm helping? There are those who are listening to me in this very moment who have ears to hear and eyes to see. There are those listening to me right now who understand what it means to not to bring the world with us, but to bring love into the world and to help those who are ready to recognize it. Now, once that has been deeply established within a person, once a person has that sense, you can't get it out of them. If you have the authentic pull, you're going to go for the authentic pull. You're going to live for that authentic pull. And nothing is ever going to take you away from it. Nothing can. So when, Jan, you're looking at an Aspire TV program and you realize that I'm talking to a small minority of people in this world, and that most of them that are watching, most people generally don't understand a single word I'm talking about, can't put it together, can't connect the dots because they're too much into the whole idea of being gratified, and their mind is only centered around gratifying themselves. The gratification is the big one. It's everything to people. It's what most people believe in. Gratification after gratification after gratification. It's what it's all about for people. So when you start to understand the nature of all of that and how that all works and why that is important to people, you understand that not many, maybe, you know, out of all the people that come to the website, maybe 10% can really hear what I'm talking about. Maybe less. The world is not changing for the better. So, you know, the question for someone like me is, Jan, do I allow this to happen and not do anything about it? Like most people complain about politics, we don't do anything about it. We don't know what we can do. We can't do anything. The average person doesn't feel they can do anything about their life. So, I can't just sit there and pretend that people care. I can't sit there and just say to myself, well, give up, you know, no one cares. I can't do that. It still has to be on the air. Aspire on TV, Aspire Radio, what you're listening to now, it just needs to be out there. If it's not out there, there's no other alternative. Really, there isn't. Because you can be a Buddhist, a Zenist, a whateverist, but people won't do that. In general, there is a group of human beings out there that want to know more, deeper, go further, transcend, without all the gobbledygook of tradition and vanity and pride. There is a whole lot of people like that. Now, they don't constitute the great majority of human beings on the planet, but they certainly count. They are the grassroots of awakening. I'm not interested in overthrowing the government or anything like that. I'm interested in personal transformation. And if there is one or two people that actually get it, that actually understand what I'm talking about and the importance of it, it is more than worth it to have these things on the air. More than worth it. Because they matter. Are we going to change this world? No. The only thing we can authentically change is ourselves. So, am I helping? Well, that's a subjective question. If I help you, obviously I might be, because you took the time to write me. You took the time to listen to my programs and watch my TV programs. And yes, they're counterculture. Yes, they're counter everything. But they're important. They're valuable. They need to be there for the sake of being there. And that's all that really matters to me, is that they're there. Someone somewhere along the line, just like with me, when I heard my first insightful sentence, something that generated insight for me and started me on my path, there is someone out there that I've started on the path. And that's very, very important. Maybe it's you, Jan. Maybe it's you. And that would be very important to me. Please forgive me. Namaste. When I'm recording these, it's sometimes 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I'm alone in my little studio, and it's really a wonderful thing to have the honor of sharing. I never know who I'm really talking to, but I'm grateful that people like Jan and Sylvia at least contact me. It's very nice. The last question comes from Jake. He does not tell me where he lives. Greg, what is going to happen to this world based on what you see? I'm very curious, Jake. Jake, I have no idea. I'm not a soothsayer. I have no idea. I know ministers like to get into this, you know, day's end and year's end and life's ending and all that. If we continue on the path we're on, I think it's self-evident what will happen. I don't really go there and too much dwell on that because that's none of my business. It's not something I can control. I have no idea. I can barely tell you where I'm going, much less where the world's going. So I don't really think that my opinion on this would be very interesting. The only thing that matters is how I am living. How I am living from within myself and what I put forth in my living as love. That's the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters is, do you and I, Jake, Jan and Sylvia, do we transcend? Do we go beyond? Do we go beyond the idea of right and wrong, good and bad? Do we go beyond the conception of our own conception, as I like to say, and get beyond our bodies, our minds, our ego, our pride, our vanity? Do we go beyond all of that? Do we get to go beyond all of that? That's really what's important. Not what is going to happen to this world. The world is going to do what the world's going to do. I can't stop it. But I do have control over my own life and what is going on within my life. And should I be willing to live my life in accord with the love that lives within me, a great wisdom will start to well up. A great love will start to occur. A great kindness will start to happen. And that's very, very important to me. All of that mingles with the state of love that lives within. And then a new person is born. When I was younger, we all thought when we were living in the ashram in India that, you know, the world would be a better place. We would set into motion things of great love, but that was not true. That just was not true at all, not even remotely. And we were making up stories. We really were. We had no idea the kind of harshness and indifference there was in the world to anything that was, you know, truly authentic and spiritual. We had no idea because we had come so far to go to India, and we'd lived in this beautiful ashram and blah, blah, and our heads were up our butts. But now, you know, I look at things far differently. The world has changed in a way that is far more involved than I ever thought it would be. And everything has changed. And the only thing that matters is to reach consciousness. And that is what it's really all about. And I am out of here. I could have gone on and on that one. Forgive me. Forgive me, Jake. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful weekend. I'll be back on the air next weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.